Thanks for listening to the Velocity Church podcast. We hope that this message encourages you, inspires you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Now, here's the message.
I'll tell you what, I think this is going to be the last little cold front we're going to have. Let's hope it's not like this next week when we're having our baptism. Yes. Amen. So let's start in Galatians chapter 2. You know, before we get started, too, Paul's the one who founded the church of Galatia, and he's writing them a letter, and it's a letter of correction. How many of you know the Word of God will correct you? How many of you know we need to be corrected? We need to receive with meekness the engrafted Word that's able to save your soul. Because if you allow things not to be corrected, then your life just keeps going on the same. And sometimes we need to confront some issues in our own life and look in the mirror of the Word and say, hey, this is wrong. This is not lining up with God's Word. And just receive with meekness and just do the Word and repent and just go forward from it. So that's what the Apostle Paul is doing is because of Judaizers. Everybody say Judaizers. False teaching, you know, came into the church. And so let's just let the Word of God speak to us here this morning. Galatians chapter 2 says, then after 14 years, Apostle Paul says, I went up again to Jerusalem. So it's 14 years. You know, in chapter 1, he went. This is the second trip. Second trip. And he went with Barnabas. How many remember who Barnabas was? He was the one who helped grow. Remember, before Paul was Apostle Paul, he was the murderer Saul. He was out trying to destroy the church, murder the church. Until he got on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, and then the Lord knocked him off his high horse. He saw a great light from heaven saying, why do you persecute me? And so he was converted. He was a chosen vessel to preach the word to the Gentiles, kings, and Jews, but primarily the Jews, and a chosen vessel. And when he was converted from Saul to Paul, took a new identity, because that's what Jesus will do for you. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when he became new, Barnabas was there, right there to help grow him in the Lord. How many, when you first got born again, you had someone there, can you remember maybe a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, someone in your life that just took you in and helped grew you in the Lord? That's what Barnabas did. He was there, and so he helped to grow the Apostle Paul. And so he was a Jewish leader. And so he's part of the team. So he says, I took the team with me. Barnabas, he says, I also took Titus with me, who is a Greek Jew. He was Paul's right-hand man. I mean, every time you look at the scripture, he says, please send me Titus. I'm so glad that Titus is on his way. And so he says in verse 2, I went up by revelation. You remember what last week we talked about revelation, what that is. It's God revealing himself to you. He said, I went up by revelation. He says, the reason I went to Jerusalem, because God told me to. It wasn't because man says, okay, Paul, we need you up here in Jerusalem. It wasn't man. It was God giving the nudge. God giving the revelation. And so he heads up there to Jerusalem by revelation, not by man. And he communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. The good news, remember what that was last week? Jesus plus nothing equals what? That's salvation. When I preached among the Gentiles, but and let me say this, because I just assume sometimes that people don't just know what Gentiles are. But the Jewish nation, God's chosen people in the beginning, but the Gentiles are any nation, that's us, that are not Jewish. They're not a part of the Israel nation. So that's when you hear about Gentiles, okay? So he says, I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those, everybody say privately. Amen. To those who were of reputation, lest by any means I had not run or had run in vain. So what he's saying here is, I met privately, I just didn't walk in here and say, hey, Apostle Paul, I'm here. He met with the leadership of Jerusalem. He said, I'm here. And he met privately to make sure they're on the same page with the gospel. And the good news is they are. Because look what he says next.
lest by any means I might write. He says, yet, verse 3, yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And I bet Titus was like, praise the Lord. And the reason is because Jews, that was a sign of the covenant, was to be circumcised. The man was to be circumcised, and that was the sign of the covenant. But here, God broadens the scope that anybody calls upon the name of the Lord, anybody, any nation, anybody calls upon the name of the Lord would be saved. And he says, and the reason this occurred is because, verse 4, false brethren, everybody say false brethren, secretly brought in, who came in by stealth, like the little stealth fighter, right? How many know that devil's sneaky? Sneaky snake. Who came in by stealth to spy out our freedom, liberty. You have a freedom in Christ Jesus. Did you know that? That they might bring us into what? Bondage. They're trying to bring them into bondage. The whole thing about these works, these Judaizers are like, oh, you can get saved through Christ Jesus, but you got to be a Jew first. You got to get circumcised. You got to be do the whole Mosaic law. You got to keep kosher. You got to keep the diet, the feast days, all this. Then, because Jesus is not enough. I mean, that's a false doctrine. And bring us into bondage. You know, God raised me up to preach, and I started preaching when I was about 39. But you know, I had taught Sunday school classes and youth and all the way. God just grooming it along, and I did not. I fought it. I didn't want to preach. Dean says, you know what? I think you need to be a preacher. You need to preach. And I'm like, no, I don't have anything to say to anybody. And I fought it. And then when I got into, God just opened up my eyes. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and I was teaching. And I still started seeing legalism. Bondage. You know what I'm talking about? Denominations. Like, you got to do this and you got to do that. And this is not enough. And I just, legalistic people just make me itch with a righteous indignation. And I feel like Lord just raised me up, because Brenham, Texas at the time, and it's still got a lot of legalism. And so I would see things that would happen. And, you know, I've been in church circles, all different kinds of circles, and I'd see people come in, sinners who do not know the Lord. And people start condemning them as they walk in. They're like, wait, guys, they're sinners. Yeah. They don't know the Lord yet. And they're like, yeah, but they can't be here because they're living in sin. How many of you know you got to catch a fish before you clean it? Yeah. And a lot of folks, they want you to have that fish cleaned before it even gets to the boat, and it doesn't work like that. That's right. And those of us who have been saved and born again, we were saved and born again. We were like that. We were sinners with no hope. For Christ died for the ungodly. That was us. Yeah. Chief of sinners. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And I would have, when I first started my ministry a couple of years, I would have people that, you know, I had people come in, and I remember this one little couple, and they came in and they're visiting, and they're like, Pastor, they're living together. And I'm like, yeah, that's what they know. That's all they know. And they're like, you know, we can't have that. And they're putting pressure on me. I'm like, no. How many of you know there's a lot of Holy Ghost sheriffs out there? They run around, they put the badge on, and they're like, hey, you know, this is wrong. And I'm just like, calm down. How many of you know that truth has timing? Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell truth, but out of touch and not in time. So we didn't do anything. 6 months later, they come up to me and says, Pastor, we won't get married because we realize that we're not living right. I'm like, praise be to God. Yes. Now, if I walked up to them and stuck a finger in their chest and said, hey, get out of here, what do? They go head to the next church, or they just get church hurt and they go anywhere, and they never come to the Lord. Right. So truth has timing. Make sure what you're telling people is out of love. Give
chance for the fish to get in the boat. Right? Before we start cleaning them up. Because otherwise, it's just you're just putting bondage on them. We do that. Verse 5, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. He said, we didn't listen to what they had to say. Sometimes when people speak, you just need to say, you know, I'm not listening to that. Mm-hmm. Verse 6, but from those who seem to be something. Now, he's saying here, he's bold. Peter does not have a fear of man. He's bold and he's like, from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. For those who seem to be something, how many of you know there's people out there that think they're something? I don't know who you think, you know, who I am, but I'm kind of a big deal. I'm not talking about me. Don't look at me right now and say, did he say that from the pulpit? I am quoting the Anchorman, all right? Some of you hadn't seen the Anchorman are like, crucify him right now. Some people think they're something. How many know we're nothing without Christ Jesus? He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You can't get any substance on your own but through Christ Jesus. He says, without me, you can do what? Whatever it was, it makes no difference to me. God shows no personal favoritism to no man. For those who seemed, he said it again, to be something added nothing to me. He's bold. How many know the righteous are bold as lion? How many know the righteous are not rude?
That's right.
There's a difference. Some people think, well, you're bold, you got to be rude. We're called to be rude. We're called to be in love. Can we confront? Can we be stern? Yeah. Christ is that way. But we're not to be rude. The righteous are as bold as a lion. You know, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. If you're walking around in fear of man, that's not from God. We're going to see where the fear of man picks up. So Paul doesn't have that. He's speaking boldly here. He says, verse 7, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised, talking about Gentiles, had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. So he's saying, Peter had the Jews, I had the Gentiles. For he worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised. He also worked effectively in me, talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about God, in me towards the Gentiles. And when James Cephas is Peter. He's Peter, that means an Aramaic rock. How many know Peter was a rock? And John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived. What did they perceive in him? The grace, the anointing of God. How many know you can't do anything without the grace of God? Amen. You can't do the works of God on your own power. It's by the anointing of God. How many of you know you got to keep that in check to have that anointing? It's the grace that had been given to me that gave me and Barnabas, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and to the circumcised. And they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. By my notes. Let's look at verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his what? So before he's speaking to him privately, but to Peter, he's in public, withstanding him to his face because he was to be what? He confronted Peter. How many of you know in life that, here's a statement I want to say here this morning. Sometimes confrontation is necessary for things to change. Sometimes the things you don't confront, it's going to be status quo. It's going to be the same thing. Until you confront it, it's still going to be the same. It's not going to change. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, 14 through 15. Bible says, pursue peace with all and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Verse 15, this is New King James Version. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become to what? Now, I also put up the NLT. Is it up there too? Work at living in peace with how? Work at it. With everyone, and work on living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. I don't think that's talking about the sweet by and by, because you can be born again and know Christ and not living a holy life. What he's saying here is you're not going to see the Lord operating in your life. You're not going to see any favor in your life. God's going to remove that anointing from your life because you've fallen from grace. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the what? Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting what? So you better watch out for that poison, because it can stink up the place. How many know that? There's two ways that we can sin. You can sin by commission. You can sin by omission. Sinning by commission is being proactive. It means that you intentionally do what the word, go against what the Word of God says. You know, God has in His Word, He gives you some commandments that you're supposed to obey, but it's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. Right? Yeah. You know, the Bible says, and Peter says, put away malice, envy, evil speaking, gossip, slander. That when you do that, that's commission. You're committing the sin. Slander. How many know slander? Slander's not just lying. You know what slander is? Slander is a person who's trying to change the perspective of someone else's perspective to bring down the people they're talking negative about. And that's just malicious. That's commission when you do that. You know what omission is? Is when you hear that kind of slander, you hear gossip like that, and you just go like this. And you don't do anything about it. Now, here's the thing. Peter is sinning by omission. Look at, let's keep reading it. He says, I withstood him to his face because he is to be blamed. Verse 12, for before certain men came from James, so James' buddies, these are Jews, and they're legalistic Jews. They're like, we keep the law. He says, they came, withdrew, and he separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Peter knows better. Peter knows that salvation is for the Gentiles because he's the one who preached it to them. Remember in Acts chapter 10, Peter's out, and there's this man, a Gentile named Cornelius. And an angel comes to him and says, the Lord has heard your prayers, and they come up like a memorial before him. And he says, go send men to Joppa, for there's Peter there, and have him bring to your house, and he'll tell you the way of the Lord. So Peter's sitting on his rooftop one day, and all of a sudden, a sheet comes out of heaven. He's having a vision, and all the four corners of the sheet, there's these hoofed animals. And all of a sudden, he hears this voice that says, rise up, kill, and eat, Peter. He's not a vegan, right? Rise up, kill, and eat, Peter. And Peter goes, I'm not going to eat anything that's unclean. I've never have eaten anything that's unclean. And you know what the voice says back to him? God says back to him, he says, don't call unclean what I call clean. So he's sitting there thinking about it, and he's like, what's his vision have to be? And all of a sudden, these men from Joppa come up and say, hey, our boss, Cornelius, had a vision and said, come get you and bring you to the house. So he brings them to the house, and he gets amongst these Gentiles, and they begin explaining how he had a vision. And all of a sudden, Peter realizes, okay, this vision is that there's nothing unclean, that God has broadened the scope for not just the children of Israel, but salvation can come on whomever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. And you know what Peter does? He begins preaching. He says, I perceive that God gives every nation, every person that by the blood of Jesus, by the redemption of sin, by the blood of Jesus, anybody can be saved. And while he's preaching that to them, the Holy Spirit falls upon them, and they become baptized in the Holy Spirit and begin speaking in tongues. And Peter and those Jews that are with them look and like, well, who can prevent them being water baptized? Now, God has given them the gift of God. Yeah. It's come to the Gentiles. So Peter knew better. He knew that they could be saved. But he would withdraw himself from the Gentiles. He's eating with Gentiles. He's enjoying BLTs. Pork rinds. For those that were keto, pork rinds and queso. He knows better. But when these men, certain men of James, probably strong personalities, I don't know. Why does he withdraw himself from them? Because he feared. He feared them. He had the fear of man. I don't know if Peter thought he was going to lose his position there as a pillar at Jerusalem. I don't know what it was, but he was perverting the gospel. The good news is Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. They're saying, no, you got to become a Jew. You got to do all this, and then you can be saved. So Paul confronts him to his face publicly. So the Jews, who's committing the commission of sin? The Jews. Saying, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to jump in all these hoops, then you can be born again. Jesus is not enough. Jesus is enough. Did you know that? I don't care. You're sitting here today, there's nothing beyond God's grace that you have done. It's him and him alone. You call upon his name, you believe in him, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're born again through him and him alone, not works. Now, God will bring good works out of you once you get born again, but good works don't get you there. Denominations, church, quoting scriptures, none of that brings you into the kingdom of God. You know the devil can quote scripture? Nothing brings you to the kingdom of God but Jesus Christ and him alone. So the Jews were in the sin of commission. Peter was in omission. Omission is knowing what's right, but you don't do anything about it. There's a scripture for that. Let's look at James. James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, what does it say, church? Sin. If you know what's right and you don't do anything about it, it's sin. What Peter was doing was sin. That's why Paul confronted him right to his face. To pursue peace with all men, sometimes the offense, if it's not a big offense, it depends upon how great the offense is. Sometimes you just let go. Water on the bridge. Sometimes to pursue peace with all men, you have to confront. You got to do something. Because otherwise, it's not going to change. People are in omission, commit the omission of sin because they're too fearful to speak up. Passive. Adam and Eve. Serpent comes to Eve. What's Adam doing? Passively sitting by. When Eve and they sinned by disobeying God's commandment, who did God come to? Didn't come to Eve. Why'd you do this? No, he came to the man. Adam's just passive. We don't want to be so passive that we're you think, oh, if you know, I want to be a man pleaser. You know what Paul said in chapter 1? He says, if I seek to please men, then I'm not a servant of Christ. Sometimes you got to speak up. Sometimes you got, and it's in love. Huh? Because see, some people hear this message and go, Holy Ghost Sheriff. I'm ready. I'm ready to confront. Thank you, Pastor Arthur, for preaching this. And I'm ready. Slow down. Pump the brakes. You're too aggressive. Some of you don't need any encouragement. You're very active. Slow it down. But some of us, we seek the approval of man. Did you know that? How many know the approval of man is a bondage? Some people want the approval of men so bad that they worship men, women, more than they do God. What you seek approval for is what you worship. Some people won't correct their children. Why? I want their approval. Just like me. God didn't tell you that. He said train them up. I learned quite a bit through the seat of my pants by the time I was 12. He said, how'd you get wisdom? Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Oh, that's not good preaching today, Pastor Arthur. Times have changed. Bible hadn't changed. Culture changed, but Bible hadn't changed. Sometimes we have to confront. Sometimes we have to say something to be Christ-like. You know, Christ, you're thinking, I just want to be nice. I want everybody to like me. You know what the approval of man is today? Social media. If we spend as much in the Word of God and praying to God, as much as we seek man's approval, oh, I missed their post. It's been a whole day and I didn't like it. Fear of rejection. Oh, I got to comment on this thing. Some of us can't even be with our spouses because we keep this closer. Bing! The baby just took its first steps. Yeah, but... You know how the Pharisees, you know how legalistic people do their deeds? Beware of the Pharisees, for they do their good deeds to be seen before men. You know how? Can I tell you right here that this will not satisfy you? All the approval of men, you can have everybody like you, follow you, do all that stuff, but it will not satisfy you. What's going to satisfy the thirst in your soul is Jesus Christ and Him alone, His approval. Amen. Amen. And we got to step up and listen. We got to do it in love when we confront. Remember, Jesus made a whip one time. You have made my house a den of thieves. Well, he's doing that in love, right? He's making a whip. I just want to be nice to everybody. I don't want to confront anybody. Nothing's going to change. You don't want to be a doormat. Everybody comes up and it's like, Sometimes you got to stand up. Sometimes you got to stand up for the Lord. God's called us to stand up. Let me look at a couple of scriptures here to help you out. Sam, you got Ephesians up there? Ephesians chapter 4, 29 through 32. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. That doesn't mean just cussing, right? But what is good for necessary, what? Edification, building up. That it might impart grace to the hearers. When you don't do that, verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know you can grieve the Holy Spirit? You keep running through hurdles and you keep committing sin that God tells you not to do. Did you know that you can fall from grace? Doesn't mean that you lose being a son or daughter of God. You're still going to go to the sweet by and by. But God can remove that anointing from you because he resists the proud and he brings more grace to the humble. So you can have your position as, hey, sweet by and by is mine, but be living hell on earth. You think, well, God's not blessing me. Could be this right here. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from who? No, those people over there. With all malice and be what? Kind. You know that's a fruit of the Spirit? Kind, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, long-suffering. And tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. All right, I'm going to end it right here. At the end of the day, whatever you're doing, your actions, your choices, what you say, your behavior, is it like Christ? Does it look like Christ? Do you have the little bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? Remember that? People looking at you like, yeah, it's not just like Christ. At the end of the day, what you're saying, your behavior, your conduct, whatever you're doing, the choices you make, is it bringing people closer to Christ? That's how you got to examine yourself. At the end of the day, is it bringing glory to God? That's how you examine yourself. So, two ways of sin, commission, omission. We don't want to do either one of them. Are we going to fail? Yeah, we're going to fail. But we can repent about it when we do. And we change. You know what repent means? Don't do it no more. Doesn't mean, I'm sorry I got my... Johnny's sorry he got his hand caught in the cookie jar. He's sorry that you caught him. As soon as you turn your back, he's going to stick his hand back in that cookie jar because he hadn't repented. Same with us. To repent means I'm going to turn away from it and I'm not going to do it again in the name of Jesus. If that's my propensity to be that way, I need deliverance. I need help from God. And that just doesn't lie. Listen, we all fall short of God's glory. And we can have his grace. We can fall from it. We can lose that anointing. I don't know about you. I want the anointing of God in my life. I want the blessing of God in my life. You say, wow, Pastor Arthur. I'll tell you, Galatians chapter 2. It's a strong message. Are we doing things out of commission or omission? Let's stand to our feet and we'll be dismissed.
Thanks for listening today. To stay connected, visit us online at velocityburnham.org and follow us on Instagram. And if you're ever in the Burnham area, we'd love to have you visit us on a weekend. Thanks again, and we hope to see you soon.